What's going on, everyone? Big day. Shadow Camera John Ritchie. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning, 94 WIP. Huge day because it's a huge game today. The Phils, the Mets, New York, not Philly, New York. Game three. And Aaron Nola, we turn not so much our lonely eyes to you, but our wanting eyes to see you go out there and do your job tonight and see the Phils, hopefully with the bats and the whole deal, win this series as they should. Now, it started a best of five. Technically, it still is. But really, it's a best of three from here with the Mets, of course, holding home field advantage now. So, look, we'll get into that. We'll do some on the Eagles today. Browns game coming up in 5 days. Jaws on the show. Brandon Graham on the show. Elliot Scher Parks on the show. And great to be with you as well. 215-592-9494. Rich. Sorry.
I'm not sure whether I should just bring attention to the fact that you are wearing your full uniform.
It's ready to it's back
today.
The batting gloves, the whole thing.
You are pulling back out in your costume.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's full on costume
action.
It is time.
It's your special costume.
I call
costume.
It my uniform. You call it my costume. I'm offended. You know what I call it? My freaking enthusiasm, man. It's my enthusiasm wearer
thing. You're looking good, man.
Well, I'm a dork. What are you
going to do? Braille was developed for spies. Braille was invented by a French army captain, Charles Barbier. It was originally called the night language that spies were using to read encoded messages in the dark.
That's pretty wild, man.
And for 10 years, that's all it was used for.
Wow.
And then Louis Braille,
yep.
a little 15-year-old who had lost his sight after a childhood accident.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Developed it a little bit further for the blind to be, you know, their language.
All right, look, good fact. Here's another fact. Costumes, or put another way, uniforms, were designed for players to wear. But I have...
You are not a player?
I'm not really. Not,
you are not a player?
Not even, when I, not even player? When I was single.
Like Big Pun once said. Yes.
All right, so I just... Something a lot.
So what are you doing?
Right,
what are you doing wearing
You know what,
again?
Man? It's time. Here's the deal. It would have been obviously game one or game two, or both. But they were on the weekend, and you guys know the rule. I wear the uniform on game days that are weekdays when we have a show. Last year, they were, you know, right out of the gate in the wild card round, that Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it was. So this year it was delayed. The uniform is back. The enthusiasm is here. And, guys, let's get down to it because there's a big game tonight. I mean, I'd say tonight. Maybe I should say today. 5:08, yeah. Whatever you call
what
that.
What is it? This afternoon,
evening-ish. Is that day or night? Is that afternoon?
I
what is
supper time?
Twilight?
Supper. Yeah, what do you call that, Rhea?
My updates, I call it this evening.
Yeah. So the weird thing is I think of the evening is 6 o'clock, but I don't think of the afternoon as 5:08. Yeah, supper, what is 5:08? What is 5:08?
Yeah, it's a great question. Late afternoon, early evening.
Something
one of the
like
two.
That. Yeah. All right. So let's get down to it because, man, it's a big game today. So let's look at it a couple ways. And again, phone lines for you as well, always, at 215-592-9494, your sense of anticipation of this one tonight. It's a
big
one.
Did Devin dry clean that thing for you, by the way?
Well, the station did.
I believe Ava did, yeah.
The state,
wow.
Well, I don't believe Ava did.
Because Ava got it dry cleaned or whatever.
A professional cleaner
this
did.
This thing looks cleaner than I've ever seen it. It looks brand spanking new.
Correct.
I've never seen it look so good.
Wow, is that a shot at mom and a camera?
That might be.
A little bit.
It's a little rude.
Wow.
A little rude. All right, let's get down to the business here. So this is why you pay Aaron Nola $170 million.
There you go.
I mean, this is why. And I mean that in a twofold way. One, to get to this moment, which he obviously helps you get to this moment. And two, to win this moment, to win this game. So I'll say this out of the gate. I'm nervous just because I'm pretty much always nervous. And it's always scary when your team's two games away from elimination. But I got a tremendous amount of confidence in Aaron Nola. I really do. I got a lot of confidence in Aaron Nola, which says that he's really done a lot over the last 2 years to instill that confidence in me, and I think for a lot of us, because, you know, you go back 3, 4, 5 years ago, we knew he was good, obviously. You know, he was good, but we also knew he had disappointed a lot, especially down the stretch of seasons. You know, late September, when they could never make the playoffs, and he was part of how they were never making the playoffs. But the last 2 years, like, look, is he on the Steve Carlton, Robin Roberts, no level? Of course not. But he's pretty damn good. And I'm thrilled he's a Philly, and I expect, and I'll just say this right out of the gate, I expect the Phillies to win tonight. I really do. And I think the main reason is Aaron Nola. Now, I will tell you this. I do wish I felt a little better about the bats. I don't. You know, like, it's scary.
Well, take heart, little Joe. Hey, did they dry clean the gloves, too?
I don't think so. But what do you got here? Go ahead, John.
I feel really good about the Phillies at 5. I'm just going to say at 5. 5, whatever. At 5:08. Yep. I saw the home runs put a charge into the offense, and then I saw the offense take over and start making small ball manufactured offense. So I've seen the offense pick back up. I expect it to pick up where it left off in game 2, because the Phillies know that's the way they need to play for game 3 and game 4
I don't know if it's about knowing.
They it's understand. They've been reminded that this is the way they play the best, and they're watching that on tape, and they're saying, "Oh wow, the light bulb is now on over our heads." So I like that. There are some things that I'm concerned about with this series. The Phillies at 5.
Yep.
Bryson Stott sounds like I don't know if he's going to be out there.
Well,
or not.
He shouldn't be.
I think he should be.
No, he should not.
I think he should be rewarded for what I saw in this last game, which is a very good player who it means a ton to, who knows a lot about baseball, who's going to have a good eye up there. Give him the opportunity to make this offense better. I would rather Bryson Stott be out there than what we're Alec Boehm is supposed to be starting at third base.
Well, he's
tonight.
Definitely going to play, yeah.
We're told by Topper he's our third baseman. I don't feel great about that. I would rather Sosa be, you know, taken third because I think his mindset's better than
Alec
Boehm's.
But then you got Stott hitting against a lefty instead of Boehm hitting against a lefty.
Stott can hit against a lefty. I believe in Bryson Stott. Look, I think it's a mistake that Alec Boehm is going to be put out there today. That worries me.
Jeez.
Aaron Nola, I think he should be great, like you said. I believe that. You look at his performance against the Mets. It's going way back since he's lost, you know, recorded a loss against this team. I hope I'm not jinxing anything. That this guy knows how to pitch this team. He is a dominant pitcher when he's on, and I expect him after the rest to be on. He can be good after rest. We've seen it happen before. We've seen him shut things down. The bullpen is a real concern tonight, though. The bullpen, I don't know what Jeff Hoffman is going to show up, which Jeff Hoffman, the shutdown guy we saw during the season. Same with Matt Strom. Matt Strom even worse. Wait. Matt Strom I trust even less. I'm to the point where I'm wondering, where is Jose Alvarado?
Clearly.
If he is capable of pitching again now, if they trust him enough to hand him the ball,
right.
Do I trust him more than Matt Strom?
It's a great, listen, let me tell you something, and all this obviously for you at 215-592-9494. There's a couple of fascinating decisions as it relates to tonight. So there's obviously the Stott-Sosa one, which John touched on. I tend to think it's going to be Sosa. Now, it's a left-handed pitcher for the Mets. I tend to think it'll be Sosa, and I think it should be. I definitely think it should be Boehm, and Rob Thompson's already announced it'll be Boehm at third base. But the Strom thing, as it relates to Alvarado, is fascinating. I mean, Strom's been the guy this year. He's been fantastic. I'll tell you this.
All-star.
First chance tonight, if it's my prime chance, meaning I might only get one of these, I'm going Alvarado. I just am. I mean,
how can you say that though? Just think about what.
Well, Strom is 0 for 2.
I don't know what Alvarado looks like. We haven't seen Jose Alvarado.
I'm aware. I mean,
but think about that. Why haven't we seen Jose Alvarado?
It's an unbelievable
conundrum.
If these
other guys are getting thrown out there and performing the way they have, how much worse was Jose off?
All right, so there's that. Rhea, let me ask you this, because you were very big yesterday. It wasn't a huge topic because they ultimately won game 2, but you feel that Rob Thompson messed up not letting Wheeler go longer.
One more inning, yeah.
Yeah, so tonight, similar circumstance. Yep. You want Nola to get that 8th inning if he's still cooking, right?
I don't think there's that. He threw a complete game shutout there in May. I mean, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, Nola is just such a different cat as long as he's not giving up home runs, which is always his problem. I trust him more to say I won't come out than I do Wheeler. And I know what everybody thinks of Wheeler. I always think Wheeler's fine with coming out. And that does bother me.
Well, he's probably been conditioned that way because he's so used 100%. To handing the ball. Roy Halladay, who grew up basically a generation before, was conditioned otherwise. I mean, Roy Halladay grew up watching Nolan Ryan, and the job of the pitcher was to stay in the game as long as you could and dominate as much as you could. Look, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, we can discuss, obviously, Strom versus Alvarado versus Hoffman, right? We can discuss that, but we can also put Nola into that discussion. You know, where that, you know, look, I remember watching Curt Schilling throw 149 pitches in Game 5 of the 93 World Series. I saw it. Obviously, if you're old enough to see Lefty and Robin Roberts, you've seen even more
what
pitches.
What was the velocity? Like, how? What would he top out at?
I mean,
because I just have no idea what
probably,
we're talking about.
Probably, if I had to guess, 95, 96, but I don't quite remember. I mean, he was a great pitcher.
That's incredible.
He was a great, but I don't remember. Well, I don't remember the end of that game, but let's put it this way. It was a five-hit shutout, and he beat a great Blue Jays team.
I've just never
in game
seen
five.
Anything like that.
Well, that's
with,
the thing.
With my experience with baseball.
Yeah.
140-something pitches is not
you
something
you won't see that.
I can't even imagine.
But here's
so
the thing.
I just checked. The last 4 years, the most pitches Nola's thrown as a game is 116. In the last, since 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 116 is
so
his
James,
high.
If he's at 106 going into the eighth inning, and the Phillies are leading 1-0, you leaving him in or not?
No. Look, they're not going to win the World Series this year if they can't trust their bullpen at a certain point. If their bullpen's going to keep failing, they're screwed anyway. Like, you have to get these guys going.
Well,
and I think the rest affects the bullpen more than anyone else, without a doubt. Those guys pitch every single day. It's not like a starter who gets, I got like 2 extra days of rest. Like, it's a little off schedule, but whatever. That happens over the course of a season. Like, these guys pitch every day, every other day, high velocity, high intensity stuff, and then they just get 5-6 days off. Like, and for Alvarado, it's been a week and a half or whatever.
Long
like,
time.
I think you have to get these guys rolling and trust your pen.
All right, look, there's so much obviously on the line with this game tonight, and we'll ask you a series of questions as it relates to it. First off, how do you balance the excitement and the nerves? I mean, to me, I got heavy dose of both, okay? Heavy dose excitement, heavy dose nerves. Also, Strom or Alvarado? Big question. Plus the Nola thing, to extend him if it's a similar circumstance to game one with Wheeler. What do you make of Stott and Sosa, second base against the lefty? What do you make of Austin Hayes and Brandon Marsh, outfield against the lefty? I would expect Austin Hayes to start. I mean, I'd love to tell you.
Everything I have, Austin Hayes will be in the
right?
lineup tonight.
I mean, yeah. I'd love to tell you Brandon Marsh is a better hitter against lefties, but he's not. He's just not. So
he's been even worse than normal lately. I mean, in terms of the way he's swinging and missing by even more than what I'm accustomed to seeing.
So look, I mean, we're probably going to see Rojas out there tonight. Not that I love it, but you'll probably get him. So it's a big one, guys.
For what it's worth, it's a big outfield at Citi Field. Like, Rojas makes more sense in this ballpark than in other ballparks. It's a big outfield out
there. And we saw Rojas get a hit in his last game. Like, that makes me feel a little bit better. Like, he did put the bat on something.
He, you know, hit the ball, which is a step in the right direction for that guy.
Yeah.
All right, look. Boy, Seltzer, you better have a certain version.
I do. Don't worry.
Holy mackerel. Because otherwise, Seltzer's going to get fired. What? All right. Hello. Yeah, the lyrics of this song get a little...
There is a radio version. Don't worry.
Get a little out there.
A lot out there.
All right. Hello to all. All right. So WIP's Unfinished Business playoff coverage, obviously the Phils, is presented by Delaware Valley Honda. You know, it is really unfinished business, not just in the last 2 years, but when you consider it's now been 16 years since the Phillies last won a World Series. So, you know, clock's ticking there a little bit. And obviously with this group, you got a real opportunity, which is exciting. I don't think this is, you know, the last time they'll have this chance. I expect the Phillies to be in the playoffs 5, 6, 7 years in a row. But you know that, you know, there's most years, you're not going to have this combination. A bye and, like, pretty much everybody healthy.
And also, I mean, really, you can't take for granted. I agree with you. I don't think the window is closed now or anything, but you can't take it for granted, you know? And also, if they lose this series, there's going to be changes. Like, it's not going to, like, they're going to have to do something to shake this up. They're not just going to re-rack it again if this group loses in this round. So there is stakes from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I think that is likely true. I mean, it'd be a fascinating off-season conversation if they do go down, you know, what to do to shake it up or not. But I tend to agree, James, they would do something there. I mean, that was one of the big themes in 80. You know, if they didn't break through then, you know, the belief was that Paul Owens and Dallas Green were going to kind of, you know, mash it up a bit. So they finally got it done, and obviously we look back on that fondly. But the reality is you only get so many cracks at this. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of cracks at it, when you call today, you got a shot. You got a crack at getting Dane Cook tickets. It's the fresh new flavor tour Big show happening show happening October 12th at the Met Philadelphia. So October 12th coming up now in less than a week. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com to see the great comedian Dane Cook. You can also, though, just win those tickets here on our program today, because today we give them away. In addition to all your calls about the Phils and the Eagles, which we'll get to shortly as well, we'll ask you this question in honor of the great Paul Hogan, who, John, I found out earlier this morning, Crocodile Dundee, still alive. Happy birthday to Crocodile Dundee. Still alive. 85.
Wow. I see.
85 for Paul Hogan.
I wouldn't have been able to guess that.
Well, 85. Let me put it this way.
Like I thought he was, I don't even know how old he was back then. He looked like he could have been a range from like 29 to
50.
80.
Yeah. He's one of these guys that fits this unique category. There are others, but he fits this category. I don't remember hearing that he died, but I haven't remember hearing anything about him in 30 years.
That's very
so
true.
So, like, today I was like, is he alive? Is he dead? I don't know. All right.
He must
He's
be
alive.
Down under.
So, yeah, down under. All right, here's the deal. Paul Hogan, obviously quintessential 80s. I mean, he was an 80s star, clearly.
Down under.
Give us a great answer today for the Dane Cook tickets. What is quintessential 80? I mean, when you think of this, you think of the 80s. When you think of this person, when you think of this thing, you think of the 1980s. Best answer, by the end of the show, whoever provides the most quintessential 80s thing or person, whoever provides that winning answer is going to win the Dane Cook tickets. John Ritchie, what do you got here today, man?
It's pretty awesome. It was a gift that I just recently got for my 50th birthday. It was a Swatch. From my
Swatch.
Buddy. Swatches were so 80s.
I love Swatches.
They were super cool. I don't know how much they run you now. Back in the 80s, they were like $40. So it wasn't too bad. But they were the coolest watch you could get for $40.
Well, there was a lot of cool stuff in the 80s. Seltzer, when you think 80s, what do you got here?
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, that's a big answer, too. Look, some of these obviously can drift into other decades, as Molly Ringwald obviously has. But I get your point. I know where you're going there, James. Her series of movies in the 80s, she was a big 80s movie star. Give us big answers for the 80s, Rhea. What do you got?
Big hair.
Big hair was the thing as well.
I had it.
And those ridiculous shoulder pads that women would wear.
Oh, yeah.
Was that more 80s or 90s, the shoulder pads for women?
No, because it was Dynasty, right? From the
Probably.
TV show.
Yeah, I think it was like 80s. Yeah.
What a disaster.
They tried to bring them back.
Let me wear shoulder pads.
Well, it is wild when you watch something from like the 80s or whatever, just the whole styling, the whole, like, it makes everyone look so
really
much older. Like,
the
they'll be like, this person's 35. And I'll be like, they look like they're 70. What is happening?
They look like a librarian who's been working for 40 years. All right, give us great answers. So obviously Reagan is quintessential 80. There's no question. He's very prominent 80. But I'll say this. You don't have to be the most prominent thing to win this answer, to be the winning answer. Like, let me just give you a little taste to me of something that's quintessential 80s. Quintessential 80s, Miami Vice. I mean, it was just, like, no one thinks of the 70s. No one thinks of the 90s. I mean, the way they dressed, the way they, it was just, it was 80s.
I just read the craziest thing about Don Johnson.
What's that?
From that, when that was in its heyday, he had to have 24-hour security.
Well, he was a big, that's shocking, but he was a big deal.
24-hour.
Both those guys were huge.
They were big.
Was it Tubbs? He was Crockett, and then the other guy was Tubbs. What was his name? Jan Michael Vincent?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
But he was the other guy.
He was the other guy. He was never anywhere close to Don Johnson.
It's like being John DePonch.
That's so true.
Right?
That's a great analogy.
You're the other guy.
John and Ponch. John sucked. I mean, Ponch is the show. Everyone knows that.
If you don't know we're talking about, we're talking about Chips, which is back against
John.
Miami Vice, different from Chips.
No question.
Right. Miami Vice, Michael Mann created.
All right, let me hear from Aaron Nola, because Rhea played a small portion of what he said yesterday, but here's a little bit more extended on Nola in New York, Nola on Rob Thompson's decision to start him in New York instead of game two here in Philadelphia. Here's what Aaron Nola said yesterday.
I was fine with it. Yeah, I mean, was super happy for Sanchi to be able to pitch at home. I mean, it's incredible to pitch at home, obviously. And, you know, his first start in postseason, which was awesome. I thought he threw the ball really good. Yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to try to contribute and try to put the team in the best chance to win in a playoff game, whether it's home or road, I was fine with. This is a pretty cool place to play, pretty cool place to pitch. I pitched here quite a few times, and first time in the postseason. So definitely looking forward to it.
Look, certainly well handled by Aaron Nola, and really what you'd expect. And look, this is a big spot. I mean, the strategy to go Nola 3 wasn't just predicated on Sanchez at home. Part of it was Nola on the road.
And Ranger going in game 4, you can try and save the bullpen today. You know you're going to have to use more tomorrow. Plus, we haven't talked about the atmosphere itself. I mean, this is by far the most, you know, intimidating, big-time atmosphere they've faced in the playoffs. I mean, they've been in Atlanta and Houston and Arizona.
I agree with that.
You know, this is like a Northeast playoff game. Yeah. They haven't experienced that on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, this is a different animal. I agree with that. Look, 215-592-9494. By the way, if you're one of the, you know, relatively few Phillies fans that actually has tickets for tonight's game, we'd love to hear from you, because obviously there'll be, you know, some couple thousand that trek up to New York. I don't know how many it'll be, but it's, you know, it's not going to be just Mets fans. So, all right, the Phils, the Mets, Aaron Nola. Obviously, it's a huge spot for him. And what is quintessential 80s? You let us know. 215-592.
Hey, you remember the name of the actor who played Ponch?
I don't.
On Chips?
I don't. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
What's his name?
Eric Estrada.
Oh, Ponch. Yeah, I thought you said John. Of course I know Ponch.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
John's name. John's name? Yeah. Did he even have a name?
I don't know.
No one knows that guy.
Well, it's a really big game. Game 3 tonight. The Phillies and the New York Mets. First time the Phillies will ever play the Mets up there in a playoff game. It should be quite an atmosphere. Obviously, you can listen to the game right here on WIP. 5:08. First pitch. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll get to some Eagles stuff this segment as well, plus some of what Rob Thompson said yesterday when he met with the media, obviously a day before this game tonight. Let's go to Gary in Whitehall leading us off. Gary, good morning, buddy.
Oh, what's going on there, morning crew? How you doing?
Wow. Hi, Gary.
Quite a bit is going on. Quite a bit.
Hey, you know what the Mets stand for, right?
The Mets. Let me think about this. M-E-T-S. Geez, I can't put an acronym together. John, you got anything creative?
I don't know what you're going for here, Gary. I bet you have a good one, though.
My entire team sucks.
That's good, Gary.
That's an awesome one.
That's really good. That's right. I like that, man. Well done.
Thank you. I'll be there all day.
Did you make that up yourself, or did someone tell you that? That's a good one.
That's an old one, Joe. I'm surprised
you
never heard that one.
Wow. I never heard that before.
Never heard it either.
No, that's really good.
Yeah. So, anyway, Aaron Nola is going to take care of business. I'm not worried. He's been there. He's done it. He's been through the ringer. I got pure confidence in him tonight. The bats.
I have confidence in him, too, Gary, but it does feel like the offense is going to have to do something. Like, the offense can't just sit back and say, Aaron Nola, take this for us, because I do think the Mets are going to pop, a home run here or there, quite potentially, and the offense has to answer.
Well, we just got to hope it's a solo home run, a variety, and just like just wait before when you came back on for the break. JT said everybody was really tight, and They were stressing, and I think Sunday night's game, the eighth and ninth inning, I think that kind of loosened them up a little bit. And,
I sure hope so. I think so too. I think that's the major purpose that it served. You know, like the offense awoke.
Yes. That's what I think. I know Strom and Hoffman struggled, you know, so far. But I'll put our bullpen up against
theirs
anytime.
Well, the Phils have had an excellent bullpen, but they got to get it together quickly. All right, Gary, give me a great answer. What's quintessential 80s?
MTV.
Wow, that's
big
a good
answer. That's such a big.
That's a big answer. Wow. Right, that's out of the gate. Deal, man. That's a big one.
That was so instructive for me. Like in a bad way.
Wow.
Like it was. Back then, you got in front of the MTV, and I couldn't stop watching it because I had to know what the next video was. It was almost like early on OCD a la the camera.
Your version, yeah.
That was my OCD.
That's a big answer. Again, we're looking for quintessential 80s. Best answer wins the Dane Cook tickets. Hit us up at 215-592-9494. So it's going to be Alec Boehm tonight. Rob Thompson was very clear about that when he spoke yesterday. Let's listen to Topper talking about Alec Bohm and more.
What is your sense of Bohm's current headspace, and do you still intend to play him tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, he's playing tomorrow. And I think he's in a good spot. He was just in there hitting in the cages and getting his work in. I'm not sure if he's going to hit on the field today or not. So, but, yeah, I think he's fine.
And will both Stott and Marsh sit tomorrow?
Oh, we'll see.
John, I was surprised that you...
I think he's in a good spot. I think he's fine. It's the playoffs. You're supposed to be better than fine. Well, you're supposed to be
John, fine
so
means,
excited to go play the most important baseball of your
life.
Are
you ripping Alec Bohm because Rob Thompson's answer is he's fine?
No, I'm ripping Alec Bohm that he has not been fine. I'm ripping Alec Bohm that his mindset has been all over the place. I don't understand why he's been so focused on things other than, you know, being great. Offensively,
and you really wouldn't play him tonight? You wouldn't play him?
No, I don't think I don't need that mindset in the dugout in postseason baseball. Something broke. Something went very wrong.
I think you're going too
with
far
with Alec. Really?
Yeah, I think you're going too
something
far.
Something went very wrong.
I think he's in a slump and he was frustrated.
RBI race.
He was in a slump and he was frustrated. And by the way, he also was injured.
That was absurd.
My
that
only
was
concern
childish. That was over the top. That was distracting.
Well,
you can't let it get to where it's detracting from what the other guys are trying to do. You know, if he's throwing fits and throwing helmets and you know, flipping out, that's not the way you want to conduct yourself.
Yeah,
and
I don't like it either. But
I think he is so immature that. That is the root of the problem here, and so immature that he wasn't playable in the postseason by his manager. That's a big deal.
I'll say this. I think you're going a little too far, and here's why. So immature is a pretty big statement. Was there immaturity? Yes. Was that part of why he got benched in game two? Yes. I think the bigger factor was he just wasn't hitting well, and he also, by the way, I mean, my only concern really with Bohm, my only concern is if the injury in his hand lingers to the point where it affects his effectiveness. I mean, if he's healthy, he's in the lineup for me against a left-handed pitcher. I don't even think twice. He's my third baseman.
It's affecting the way that he's played. There's no doubt about it. Trying to get to 100 RBI somehow, short-circuited Alec Bohm.
Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. Let's get to a couple.
Well, of course it's not. There's a lot that goes into it. We don't know why or how. We know that he is not of the mindset that I want my third baseman to be in for playoff baseball. And I don't want that bleeding over to anyone else. I don't want anyone else taking that vibe.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we'll see where people stand on the Bohm thing. I mean, he's going to be in there tonight. Do you like it or not? 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, first question. If you had to choose one of these tonight to use in a big spot, which lefty would you prefer Rob Thompson use? Is it A, Alvarado, or B, Strom? I mean, this wouldn't have been a question, you know, 2 years ago, because Alvarado was your guy. I don't think Strom was here, but you get my point. Alvarado was the dude. And then at a certain point, Strom passed him, clearly. But then the problem is, you know, Strom is 0-2 so far in the playoffs. I mean, he is a definitive 0-2. So now that it's game three, and Strom's had rest. I mean, he was off yesterday. Alvarado's had rest. He's been off for a week and a half, other than that, you know, simulated game that they played, or whatever that game's called that they played.
That worries me so much.
Well, that's a factor also.
What does he even look like right now? We've seen Jose Alvarado up there on the mound, completely unable to throw a strike at times, and I'm so worried that we get to that spot. He gets into a dirty inning, and it's, ugh.
That's why he became a Philly in the first place. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays would never have let him go if he could throw a strike. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy with an arm like that, I mean, he's got one of the best arms I've ever seen a Phillies pitcher have. He really does. But he's wild with it. All right, Alvarado or Strom, who do you go to tonight if you get to pick one in a big spot? Second poll question, how does this whole thing play out? Four choices. Phillies in four, Phils in five, Mets in four, Mets in five. Who wins? What length of the series? Let us know. 215-592-9494. Speaking of game four, what Rob Thompson said about it yesterday, looking ahead to game four, We'll get to that coming up shortly. Let's talk to Greg in Elkins Park. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. I'm going to game four, and I just want to review some of the rules. I'll be in the front row of left field.
Okay.
So I don't want to be that Cubs fan from, you know, way back. Make sure I'm reaching for the right balls and, and hold restricting for other balls. So I, as a visiting fan, same rules apply. I'm trying to get anything that's close that the Phillies hit, correct?
Well, yes, but not entirely. So the first objective for a fan in the stands is to make sure you never cause your team to have an out that it may not have because you reach over and they deem that you did a naughty deed. So it's a very fine line between I'm trying to steal one from my club, and but I'm also trying not to become public enemy number one in my hometown.
If the left fielder has no chance of catching it, and I make a clean catch, and Cassidy, you know, comes up like 2 feet short, I need to get that.
Wow.
Right? See, that now you're right in the zone where it gets problematic. 2 feet short is the problem. I don't know what to tell you. Like, Greg, you know what's amazing, man? I mean, I know you're joking a bit, but, like, the difference between Jeffrey Mayer in New York, who grabbed the ball in 96, and the poor Cubs guy in 98, I mean, Jeffrey Mayer did something that, I mean, he just absolutely was not supposed to do.
Well, he went into the field to play.
But he became a hero.
No, it was a hero, it went the other way because it was a home run for his
it's
team.
It's astounding. So my point, Greg, is all I can tell you, man, is as they say in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, excuse me, and the Last Crusade, choose wisely. That's all I can tell you, man. If you put those hands out there, just be smart about
it. Just get on Brandon Nimmo, be yelling at him, yell at all those guys, get in their heads.
Right.
I would say that.
Maybe the accidental beer drop, not the intentional
beer
drop.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
The accidental one.
Okay, that helps. That helps. Thanks. My entire team sucks. I'll be yelling at them.
All right, Greg, give me a great answer for who or what makes you think of the 80s.
I am, in addition to a diehard Phillies fan, I am a Greg the Niners fan, and Joe Montana.
Yeah, that's a big answer, man. The 4-for-4 in Super Bowls and obviously the best quarterback of that decade. A decade that had great quarterbacks. I mean, you had Montana, you had Marino, you had Elway. They were the big three. But, you know, you had others that were really good as well. But Montana, in the end, obviously shined brightest with the four titles, no question. 215-592-9494. You know, passed away last week, and we didn't touch on it because we were so into the Eagles and the Phils and all that. And he had a role in the 80s, but it was more the 70s and like the 90s, early 2000s you think of with him. John Amos passed away last week.
Yeah.
And he had four.
Man.
He had four tremendous roles. I don't remember a fifth. I know there was. I don't know what would be five. But the four big ones, and man, are they very diverse roles. The father in Good Times, Roots, Coming to America, and The West Wing.
Oh, and Die Hard 2, man. Forgot Die Hard 2.
And Die Hard 2. You're right. And that would probably be early 90s, I think.
Die Hard 2 was like 91-ish, yeah. So 92 maybe.
Maybe he just sat out the 80s. John Amos, not a good answer for quintessential 80s. You're right. Die Hard 2 is another one. He was good. And, you know, he was also, John, I don't know if you know this. Do you know that he played for Hank Stram? Got cut by Hank Stram in a training camp 1 year?
No way.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He got cut. He played for the camp before Good Times. He was a Kansas City Chiefs in a training camp. And John Amos got cut. But anyway, I just wanted to mention he was a heck of an actor and just a strong presence on TV. Very strong, commanding figure as an actor. Let's go to the phones. 215.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people point this out, but losing, you know, James Earl Jones and John Amos within like two, three weeks of each other. Of course, King Joffrey Joffer and Cleo McDowell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy, look out, man. Look out.
Yeah.
Where's the actress? Rhea, where's the actress for Coming to America? Where'd she go?
Great question.
Wow. Did she ever star in anything else?
I got nothing.
No idea.
That, you know, that happens a lot.
It does.
You wonder if it's them or they just, you know, didn't have the right.
Sad thing has happened to a lot of women in that era of movies. Like, there just weren't as many roles. There were worse situations. It just is what it is. Like, it happens to a lot more to women from that era than to men.
Wow. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about game four because, you know, when they do these media availabilities like they do yesterday, obviously the focus is primarily on the next game. But it's a worthy question. What about Ranger in game four? And I was a little... I was a little surprised how definitive Rob Thompson was with this answer for one reason in particular. Here's Rob Thompson yesterday.
Is Ranger definitely your game four starter, or is there a chance, depending on how that goes, that Wheeler could come back game four?
No, Ranger could pitch game four.
All right, so he was just boom.
Yeah.
Now, there's two things about it that surprised me a little bit. One, you
I don't find that surprising at all.
Well, two things. One, you could be in a 2-1 hole. So he's trying to dissuade the possibility that if I am, I change course. So he's saying, even if I'm in a 2-1 hole, Ranger's my guy. The other thing is you just never know. And maybe it just is understood. It doesn't have to be said. But if you get into one of those crazy long games tonight, you know, not inconceivable Ranger gets in there. I mean, that now, again, that'd be an extra inning game. And now you're in the 11th inning. You need a guy to just go out there and, you know, give you innings. And let's remember, guys, in the postseason, it is not the regular season rules where a guy starts on second base. I mean, we've all grown accustomed to the 16, 17, 18 inning games no longer happening in baseball, but it can in the postseason because, you know, you're back to the normal rules where no one
so
starts.
It's so bizarre, isn't it?
It's a strange.
Because we were talking about it at the game on Sunday, and I'm going, I don't know. I don't think they do it in the postseason because it's just, you just.
Right. It's like when football have different overtime rules?
Yeah, they change overtime rules for the postseason. Yeah. They still do have different overtime rules for the postseason, I believe.
I think you get that third possession.
You get the third possession, exactly.
If both teams have scored a touchdown, I think.
I mean, hockey does. Hockey has different overtime rules.
Yeah.
I mean, most sports. It's not that. It's not a weird thing, actually.
It's just rewiring your brain to go, oh, yeah, they're not doing that
game. That's exactly right. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, John, good news yesterday as the report came out that A.J. Brown and Devontae look like they're on track for Sunday. Boy, is it fortunate for the Eagles to play the Cleveland Browns.
It feels like it's been the whole season we've been waiting for A.J. because it has been almost the whole season. It was like one game.
I think it was one game.
It was one game, and then he got hurt in practice that following week.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
It changes a lot. He, like you said, the best player on this offense, maybe the best player on this team coming back, and Devontae, who is incredibly
the fourth or fifth best player on the team. Yeah. Lane Johnson potentially back, also like the fifth best. You know, I mean,
it's exciting to think about how different the team's going to look, how improved they'll look just by being out there and healthier.
Did you guys see the line?
All right, let me take a guess. Eagles, Browns. So the Eagles haven't played well. The Browns might be the worst team in football, and their quarterback is a disaster.
The Browns have a lot of talent, but they just severely underperform.
All right, James, the way you said it makes me think that it's bigger than it should be. I think it the line I feel with the Eagles, the way they've been, is like Eagles by 6, but I think you're going to say it's like Eagles by 9.
Good job by you, 8.5. You read me perfectly. The Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite.
Hard to imagine the way the Eagles have played that they should be an 8.5 favorite against anyone.
Right. But they lose to Deshaun Watson.
I know, Ray.
The Browns have been that bad. The Browns have been awful. Like that's what worries me. They've been so bad, it feels like it can't be that way. It can't continue the way it's been.
Well,
like,
I mean,
a month after a month, they have to fix the way
it's been. Here's the weird thing about the Deshaun Watson thing. He was good.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really, really, really good. Was he top three? No. Was he a definitive top 7 or 8 quarterback in pro football? Absolutely.
Yeah,
he was. I mean, I remember that game he played against Nick Foles in 2018. I think it was Foles' final home game ever. You know, the Eagles won that game and then won the following week and made the playoffs again, you know, with Foles doing some dramatic stuff down the stretch before the Bears game, obviously, before ultimately the loss of the Saints in 2018 playoffs. But, like, he was amazing in that game. I mean, part of the way I know is I watched with my own eyes, and you go back and look at the box score, it was tons of points. I mean, part of why Foles was the hero is because he outslung freaking Watson, who was incredible that day. All right, 215-592-9494. Well, we'll see what he's got coming up on Sunday. But I'll tell you this. The standard for the Eagles season is not to beat the Cleveland Browns. The standard is to look a lot better. You know, to look a lot better. I mean, let me put it this way. This is the kind of game where it'll irritate me if the Eagles get another excuse me win, John. You know what I mean? I mean, James, say it's a point spread.
We better not have an excuse me win. Right. After reevaluating everything, you had a month. You told us you were stepping away. You were going to dig in. You were so excited about the self-scout, the evaluation. It better be different.
John, I heard a thing.
It better be better. We better see the things you told us we were going to see at the beginning of the season, like Jalen, more under center.
Totally.
Jalen, more play action. Jalen, dropping back and trusting the pocket and looking downfield rather than breaking it and hustling to the sideline.
If you don't see those things, will you be concerned?
Very
because those
so.
Are the kind of things that,
very
like, I don't expect
so.
To see him under center. I don't expect it. I don't think that's going to happen, like, personally.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. You know, here's a fact about the Eagles that when I heard it the other day, it surprised me. But it makes sense given how many, excuse me, wins they've had in, you know, the last year and start of this year. They haven't won a game by more than two touchdowns since the NFC Championship game against the Niners.
You just can't win decisively when you give the ball away.
Well, that's true,
and
too.
And that's been the trend.
Yeah.
That's the root of the problem here. Jalen, it's night and day. Jekyll and Hyde in terms of him turning the ball over.
Yeah, it's been bad.